see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the, well, what are we tonight? Supposed to be Revelation Radio Network, but tonight they canceled out, so I don't have to. I have my own network, and I can talk on my own program tonight from 9 to 11, 2 hours. So that'll be 4 hours today. And today, tonight, is part two of the military suicides. This is massive. Family, there's families out there, 20 to 22 to 26 families today, tomorrow another 22 to 26 families tomorrow, and 26 after that, that will experience a suicide in the United States of our American veterans. That's not counting citizens. Today, at least 20, maybe 26 U.S. servicemen committed suicide somewhere in the United States, and these lying lowlife George Chief of Staff don't have the courage to say anything about it because they're under a blood oath to God to keep quiet because they belong to Freemasons or Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, or Jesuits or whatever. Family, this is an abomination. It's over our heads, but not only by prayer. I still pray for their soul that's doing this, but God take care of the rest. Otherwise, it causes us to be no better than they are. But still makes me mad. But I don't allow it to bring out the old me, that what I want to say, because, again, I'll repeat it. It makes me no better than they. But God says, vengeance is mine. And there's nothing they can do. I mean, absolutely nothing. And if they don't believe in God, it doesn't make God just go away. If they don't believe in Satan, that's what Satan wants, is not to believe in him. Because then by not believing in him, you're still following him. Don't matter what we believe. The supernatural exists. What matters about belief is that you have faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ. Oh, that does matter. He requires it. You know, you wonder, and I've violated quite a few of the Ten Commandments. Multiple marriages, you can only imagine. So I'm not innocent by no stretch of the imagination at all. In my young days, I was, only reason I joined the Marine Corps was to go to war in the Vietnam era. I wanted to kill me some commie. I felt it my obligation to kill a communist for Christ. Yeah, that's the only reason I joined. There was no other reason. So I had it in my heart then. Even when I got out of the Marine Corps, I still sought after anti-terrorism. I still sought after finding some kind of combat zone, somehow, some way. Even in 1994, so recently, so to speak. I was born again in 1983, and I slid back more than once. But when I started broadcasting, it's kind of like teaching in a way. And when I say things over the air, I have to mean them. I can't just say something and not mean it. So it almost forced me to hear myself speak and then, caused me to have to follow up with what I was saying. Does that make sense? That's what happened. Then I realized I was preaching without a license. Sort of. Then I found out and put everything together that the New World Order was the way that Satan, the supernatural, was operating in this world. Everything's connected. And of course, my regular listeners, you know what that led to, because I'm preaching to the choir, I suppose. But back to it. I talked today, 4 to 6, about military suicides, veteran suicides. I decided tonight to do part 2. And I believe tonight I have both barrels loaded. Today was off the cuff. I put it together as I was sitting there. Tonight, I said, okay, I'm going to put something together this time. Let's see what happens. Because all my broadcasts, I sometimes bring up some of the same information to put the new information in perspective. It's going to be a little bit of that tonight, to a certain extent. But I got a lot of new information to give you tonight. I put together in the past 3 hours. So this will be part 2. And that's why it's so significant, and yet people just poo-poo it out. 26 families today lost someone from, and 85% have not seen combat. Now, there is a problem people aren't talking about. Wait a minute, combat causes post-traumatic stress, so what's going on here? It's called reducing resistance to the New World Order, because they've trained us so well in the military that they had to take us down in a cowardly fashion. And our own Joint Chief of Staff, government working for the Jesuits, are part of it. That's the kicker. Let's dedicate the broadcast. Let's get down to it. Lord, tonight we thank you for letting us come together tonight. Father, lead us tonight as we talk, share among others in different ways. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to speak on a network. Father, we pray for our family members, Lord, that are being attacked, not only by physical, mental, other ways that, Father, that this is how Satan sometimes tries to get us discouraged and, interrupts our walk with Jesus. That, Father, that he tries to stop that connection we have with other family members and ourselves, that, to keep us all distracted. Father, we call upon you to give us to spread the blood of Jesus around us, Lord, and protect us with the Holy Spirit. We pray for family members. We pray for friends, Father, that's having their attacks within their own families that we see going on. That seems to be increasing every day. Father, we know you have the great plan. Father, I know that our strength lies in prayer and fasting and our walk with you in a righteous way. But Father, we need help on this because we see that the influence of Satan is increasing. That's why, Father, we pray and we plead in the precious blood of Jesus, the precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus, Lord. We pray that over ourselves, over myself as I speak, and my family. There is families listening, Father, and everything that belongs to all of us. Father, we ask you for giant warrior angels to be loosed from heaven and those to surround us and protect us. And Lord, as your war club and weapons of war, we ask the Holy Spirit to break down, undam, and blow up all the walls of protection around all witches, these warlocks and wizards and Satanists and all the like. And Father, to break the power of all these curses, the hexes, the vexes, the spells and charms, the fetishes, the psychic prayers, the psychic thoughts and all witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic, the voodoo, and all mind control, the jinxes, the potions, bewitchments, the death and destruction they cause, the sickness and pain, the torment, the psychic power and the psychic warfare, and the prayer chains be broken up, and everything else being sent my way, those that's praying in their direction, or our family members, to return it and the demons to the senders, and right now, back to them sevenfold, and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we pray that these lost souls, that they'll find the light of your Son, Jesus, and that their own snares and their own traps have been set against themselves. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to loose them from all mind control of Satan. And Father, we also ask that you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts, and this to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus, so they too may be set free from the bondages of Satan. And Father, that's why we pray on the belt of truth to be buckled around our waist, that we are held up by the truth of your living word. And we pray on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our vital organs and inner man and woman, to cover our integrity, our spirit, and our soul. And guard our heart, for Lord, it is the wellspring of life. We pray on those gospel shoes of peace, and to stand in those shoes for your good news, and on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, who is our solid rock. And Father, we pray into our hands the shield of faith. To take up that shield of faith, we ask that you might extinguish every dart and arrows launched from the enemy to take us down spiritually, physically, mentally, or emotionally. And Lord, we pray on the helmet of salvation that you might protect our minds from the thoughts that can lead us astray. And Father, protect us from being double-minded, that we may allow our minds, the command center of the rest of our bodies, to be saturated with the mind of Christ. And Lord, finally, to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Almighty Word of God, the King James Bible. And we pray this offensive weapon to our hand and ask that your word be fitted for every encounter we face. And Father, to give us the words to spread the gospel. And these things we pray, Lord. We pray for the veterans, Lord, as they're being targeted from the outside to cause these suicides. We pray, Lord, that you take away this effects of the psychotropic drugs. Take away the effects of the technology that's causing them to commit suicide. And Father, for those that do have the mental maladies, Lord, that you take those demons out of them. Lord, we pray for those children being abducted for witchcraft sacrifices and rituals. Lord, you break up these prayer chains they have and these rituals. And Father, to expose the fallen angels for who they are, and expose this false Christ, Lord, to bring knowledge to people that, Lord, that will see through this disclosure, see through these lies. And Father, to touch the hearts of these preachers, rabbis and priests, that, Lord, that you give them courage to step away from their beliefs, their churches, and talk about the true word of God, the King James Bible, in order to stay away from all these doctrines and go back to the truth about the Bible. The Father, these convictions and control the government has over our churches, Father, to break those ties and to give these preachers and rabbis and priests the courage to step away and preach about repentance, to preach away of the way to Jesus Christ. Lord, we need that help. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You see, family, Jesus Christ is not about religion. Religion was created by the fallen angels called one of the rays, R-A-Y-S. Even an atheist figured out that all religions could be false, but only one could be true. An atheist figured that one out. People don't realize that you have so much a variety of religions, somebody's got to be wrong. There only could be one right. Well, all of them are wrong. You see, Jesus is not about Christianity. If you say it's about Christianity, okay, well, which Christian belief are you talking about? Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, they all got different doctrine. Baptist, one Baptist says you have to be baptized, another one says you don't. One says you have to speak tongues, you're not saved. One says you don't. The Bible's solid. It's the people, it's the preachers that are Freemasons, that are Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, or they're controlled, or whatever. They got problems. That they make up their own doctrine as they go along. Or they belong to some movement. That Bible's solid. God's holy word is only the King James Bible. How come they go after the King James Bible? What makes them so afraid of the King James Bible? Because it's got power, that's why. You see. Jesus is about redemption and salvation, not about a religion or four walls or a building. Not about a preacher, rabbi, or pope or whatever. It's about your redemption and salvation. And the Bible's clear about it. I was talking today about mind control and how they're causing these suicides. I need to get into it right now. This isn't necessarily a Bible study on Monday nights. It is from Tuesday to Friday, 7:30 to 9. So tonight's kind of a mixed bag. But see, the Bible study is still about the New World Order. Bible study is the only way you're going to defeat it anyway, is by knowing the supernatural, praying and fasting. All these generals, all these folks out there doing all these weaponry and F-18s, none of that's going to work. It's not going to happen. Because what rules this world right now is sin. What rules this world are the secret societies. And they are going to be eliminated by the very ones they're working for. Psalms 34:21, it is clear as a bell. It tells you what's going to happen. You see? Psalms 34:21, look it up. That's a prophecy. Psalms 34:21 is a prophecy. And the evil shall slay the wicked. Now you think, well, how's that going to happen? You ever thought about that? Even the wicked, isn't the wicked and the evil the same? Why would evil slaughter itself? Huh. And we could just read it in a Bible study and let it go. But that's not how I do Bible study. you read it, and you say, well, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Now that should strike up an eyebrow, or two or three or four. Why would Satan destroy the wicked? Why would he not want to destroy the righteous? Yeah, isn't that curious? Don't y'all find that strange? Could it be that the same thing happened before the flood? It sure did. That's why the fallen angels are so ticked off at God. That's why they're causing us to kill each other, because they're getting back at God for him destroying their Nephilim. They're hybrids. They're giants. That was their children, so to speak. Think about it for a minute. They had to watch. They were eternal beings. They had to watch their children, their so-called creation, being destroyed right before their eyes. There's nothing they could do about it either. The last two verses of Psalms hinge on the word condemned. As for the wicked, calamity shall bring them down in death. They shall be condemned. That's part of what evil means, a calamity. But the servants of Jehovah, not Yahweh, Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards. They're not telling you all the truth about that in this Hebrew Roots movement. Have one who redeems their soul, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You find that in Romans 8, verse 1. Horatius Bonar said, and I quote, "Who shall condemn us now? Since Christ has died and risen and gone above, for us to plead at the right hand of love, who shall condemn us now?" So, the believer is saved, kept and abundantly satisfied for time and eternity, to be born again. That's the message of that psalm. Evil shall slay the wicked. That's really, really important. I was talking today about these brain chips that's being put in our people's heads. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today. They were talking several years ago about serving the veterans better and what's really been done. Going back to 2008 or 9. Rykoff, Paul Rykoff, look his name up right now, his biography. Proudly, like Rick Warren, proudly, a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. They got nose sprays, psychotropic drugs, brain chips, taking away the firearms, 2006. Veterans Disarmament Act by Bush. They knew what was coming. It's all planned. Veterans Disarmament Act says if they're diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, they can't own a weapon. And yes, someone said, yes, they had to wait till the technology was approved and brought into play. But that technology has been in the practice and development stage since 1950s. So then they had to use predictive programming. And having veterans kill members of their family, having to commit suicide, going into office buildings and killing people, from being mind controlled, to say, look how veterans are post-traumatic stressed out. But what they're not saying is it's being controlled like human drones. So that people will agree about disarming veterans. Veterans don't realize they're being targeted by technology and enhanced post-traumatic stress. How well can you predict your next mood swing? Says Patrick Tucker. The military is building brain chips to treat post-traumatic stress. They're telling you. This is a recent article. They might as well just tell you, you know, if you don't want to live much longer, we're going to produce these pills called cyanide. You can take them and die. Any problem? What? Any problem? What? You got a problem with that? It's the same thing. But they're telling you, however opposite, that the military is building brain chips to treat post-traumatic stress. We're going to put brain chips, well, in your brain to treat your post-traumatic stress. They must think we're dumb as rocks, man. At the highest level, they must think we're really dumb. Well, I'm going to prove tonight the lies that they're telling. It's an existential dilemma for many. For the military, the ability to treat anxiety, depression, memory, loss, and symptoms that is associated with post-traumatic stress has become a major epidemic and problem. Suicide's a result. The Pentagon, the liars that they are, and the evil that they are, at the highest level, they say they're developing a new innovative brain chip to treat post-traumatic stress in soldiers and veterans that could make new changes about the way depression and anxiety is treated for millions of Americans. But we got to take some of your rights away so you can give your rights. Say what? Yeah. We got to take some rights away to give you more freedom. Say, I'm going to begin with that. That's kind of what they're saying here. What got me today was when I talked about this before, with $12 million and the potential for $26 million more, if benchmarks are actually met, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, they want to reach deep into the brain's soft tissue to record, predict, and possibly treat anxiety, depression, and other maladies of mood and mind. And these teams from University of California, is an Illuminati college. It is listed in the Council of Foreign Relations. They're a card-carrying member, among a lot of others, up to Harvard, Princeton, all of them. Lawrence Livermore, National Lab, and Medtronic are going to use money to create a cybernetic implant with electrodes that extends into the brain. Listen to what I'm saying to you now, because what I got to tell you tonight is going to connect. See, the military, which is not on your side, they hope to have a prototype, they say, quote, within 5 years, and then plans to seek FDA approval. This article is about a week old. The military hopes to have a prototype within 5 years. 2019, give or take. A prototype in 5 years. That means they don't have it yet. And then plans to seek FDA approval. So the DARPA systems based neurotechnology for emerging therapies or subnets program, it draws from a decade of research in treating disorders such as Parkinson's disease by a technique called deep brain stimulation. Low doses of electricity are sent deep into the brain in somewhat the same way defibrillator sends electricity to jumpstart a heart after cardiac arrest. They must think we're really stupid. When it sounds high tech, it's a critical example of what's possible with future brain machine interaction and cybernetic implants in the decades ahead. A mind control slave. Now, quote, DARPA is looking for ways to characterize it's coming to play for different conditions. Measured from brain networks down to a single neuron level, develop therapeutic devices that can record activity, deliver targeted stimulation, and most importantly, automatically adjust therapy as the brain itself changes? Oh, I can't wait. to have my brain changed and DNA changed. DARPA program manager Justin Sanchez said, quote, "Subnets isn't the only military research initiative aimed at stimulating the brain with electricity. The Air Force has been studying the effects of low amounts of electricity on the brain by using a non-invasive interface, if you want to believe that, go on ahead, a cap that doesn't penetrate into the skull. The objective is to deliver a caffeine-like boost to help soldiers stay alert through long stretches of piloting or screen interaction. The current DARPA project stands out uniquely ambition in what promises to reveal about the brain, in addition to stimulating it. How about induced sleep deprivation? Let's call it what it is." It goes on to talk about prosthetics and disorders with post-traumatic stress. And other big words and stuff. Now, I'm going to get down to it here in a minute. I'm laying the groundwork, as I always do, because I'm going to blow this out of the water. I'm going to destroy this article. Now, the article's good. Don't get me wrong, but I'm going to destroy the lies that these DARPA and Pentagon that they tell here in a second. I'm kind of scanning over it right quick to get to the meat of it. And I think that's just the meat I got to it. In short, researchers will soon know much more about what causes anxiety and mood swings. Family, I'm going to tell you right now, I assume I got a veteran crew that's listening tonight. It's demonic. They use these synthetic demonic energies, if you want to call it that, to open up portals to allow demonic entities to come inside. And they can simulate demonic activity by using ELF transmission. That takes a step further than what you're ever going to be told. Because that's what demons are. They're personalities of sort. That's energy that come inside when you experience hate. You have a demon that's a hate frequency that comes inside and then boosts your hate and drives it because you've allowed that to happen. You're still responsible, of course, but you can pray it out. This is what really goes on. Quote, "They could then treat depression or anxiety remotely via a device that pushes the brain to establish new circuits of areas outside traumatized regions." Well, let me tell you something. The Earth has surrounding it frequency vibrations. It has to do with physical structures, protons, photons, atoms, molecules, etc. And they vibrate at the same rate of about, 8.2 hertz of energy vibration. And so you can interact with physical bodies, you touch tables and each other. It's all in a certain area. For example, the ice cube, you change the physical vibration of it with heat as energy source, turns to water. Even more so, water turns to steam, but it's the same water. But you're changing the molecule vibration. Now, you can interact with it because it's still within the realm of your interactory stages and your dimensional capacity and all that stuff. I'm going to let it gets technical. But that's an example of the three heavens. Is water, is ice, earth, water, second heaven, and steam, third heaven. So it's based on 186,000 miles per second is the vibrationary level. You see. Now, they have used, also in the past, by the way, electricity has an effect on people. They've used electrical shock treatments, for example, on institutionalized mental patients. Still do, and DARPA is full of buffalo chips. Because shock brain to cure depression. Now, let me tell you what's happening. 7.8, 8.2 hertz, right? Now, they have HARP, individually with microwave technology, or a flash mob, or a town, or a state. They can target the individual or the state or whatever in this cloud of ELF transmission through these towers, ELF towers, and they can target the individual or the group, the town, or whatever, with 6.6 hertz or below. That causes depression. So they can target the individual. Has that microchip, they've got it listed on their computer. And they can pull his name up, his DNA, aim it, and cause him to be depressed by the push of a button. Or they could target a flash mob, a town, a state, a country, with 11 hertz. You have total violence, and they don't know why. You see? Now, demon can do the same thing. Now you understand. They're not telling you that. Now, the veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan are targeted big time because of what they've seen, what they've done, and the fact that they're currently, they're not worried about the baby boomers because we're all got arthritis and knee problems and I don't know what else and this, that, and the other. But the Iraq, the veterans coming back and the recent retirees, they have combat experience. We're about the most well-trained military in the world. Well, we were. Family, this is where homosexuals come into the military. This is where, this is all planned out. I got all this documented. You understand this? I'm not speculating or theorizing. I'm telling you what they've done. They've brought women into frontline units, lifted the ban in June of last year. That was part of the separation of the military. 1993, bringing homosexuals in the military. And then on cue, 20 years later, Obama says, okay, now you can come out of the closet. Family had 15,000 sexual assaults of male to male about a year or two ago, 3 years ago, as opposed to 12,000 female. You think that would divide the military? Oh, yeah. This is all part of one agenda. I got it documented, family. Ruth Bader Ginsburg played a big role of getting the women to frontline units. You can't put women on frontline units. They're going to load a 155 howitzer in the heat of a battle. And what if the rear area artillery home base gets hit with Spitznaz? You're going to have a woman fight a Spitznaz? You got to be kidding. Joint Chief of Staff are the dumbest in the world, or they're the most evil ever been, or they're cowards. Why can't they just stand up and say, wait a minute, we're not going to have this back in 1993 till now? It's all been part of it. Because I'll tell you why. They're part of the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus. They're part of the Freemasons. They're part of the Jesuit takeover of the U.S. government. It's always been. They orchestrate the wars since 1873. This is the real truth. They bring them in and say, you want to make it, you're going to have to join our lodge. And look how powerful we are. Want to join a new world order? It's bigger than you. And they say, yeah, my career, my eternity. I've heard a Mason say that, you see this ring? It's my ticket to heaven. No, it's not. I said, it's your ticket to hell. Didn't like it too much. Family, this is what's really going on. That's a reality. Hard to take, isn't it? But this is the truth. So they're holding back on the veterans' benefits just like they did the bonus army. There's nothing new under the sun. And now they're making it look like it's Obama's. Well, Obama's part of it, but so was Clinton. So was Bush. So was FDR. You've heard me read many times about FDR's statement behind closed doors. It's not just Obama. It goes back to every single president. You know, recently, this drumming up again, I've talked about this before, actually, about Jane Fonda. she's going to speak at some university commencement or whatever. And it says in the article that the veterans were really reddened in the face and angry that Jane Fonda was going to speak. And then it shows another photo of her in her young days sitting on the North Vietnamese aircraft in an aircraft gun. They're bringing it up now, this past week. This is so much heresy I've never seen, and hypocritical. Family, every single president has been a traitor to this country, including Joint Chief of Staff involved in Illuminati. FDR planned Pearl Harbor in 1920s with Churchill, his cousin, and the Japanese elite planned Pearl Harbor. They got documentation. This is truth. Doggone it. You know, it's the presidents that belong to the secret societies is the enemy. They belong to the Jesuits, the Roman Catholic Church, Merovingian bloodline. All this is connected to the Illuminati. Reagan, Giafrida, all these guys have planned military coups. That's not happened. Nixon, talking about a traitor. They planned a military coup. They want to kill Agnew using a unit from LAPD to assassinate Agnew in September 1973 at the convention. It was going to be, a Republican convention is going to be held in San Diego. It didn't happen like he'd planned it. Every president has been a traitor, because they're all cousins, and they belong to the Merovingian bloodline of the Illuminati. These are all facts. Like it or not, don't matter to me. It's truth. You see, so I'm nailing a lot of stuff in a short period of time. And a lot of it sounds crazy, but it's actually all true. That's what you're dealing with. It's a supernatural war that we're in. Now, this article that sets the stage. It said 5 years, a prototype, right? Uh-huh. Well, in 1973, that was quite a few years ago, 30-some years ago, there's a document smuggled out of the Pentagon that was listed. They're called the Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders. I got a copy of it, a PDF. It was funded by the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. In 1973, the thesis of this study and project is that social or cultural or finally political rehabilitation began inside the nervous system of the citizen. And so they sewed up inside one of the felons, they had felons they used as test group, a miniaturized radio transmitter implanted inside the brain or body. It could monitor and transmit conversations, location, even a sexual response to the subject 24 hours a day. And the report explained that sewed up inside the subject's body, along with the transponder, I bet that hurt, don't you? There'd be a radio-controlled electrical shock device. A device could deliver punishment to the offender anywhere in the world. Now, for those of you, this is 1973, and today they're saying, well, the New World Order is taking over, I'm going off the grid, man, I'm going to disappear. I just sicker when I hear this. They're going to go off the grid. Where are you going to go? That's what I want to know, that you can't come out on the ground again. Because they got your DNA. Unless you get a blood transfusion, I don't think that's going to happen. They got you when you come out on the surface anytime they want you. People are not doing their research, man. And the microchips enhances that DNA signature that can be picked up in the air in space. Now, in this article, excuse me, this study, 92-page study, it identifies the offenders and subjects. The author of it, Professor Ralph K. Schwitzbel, Schwitzgebel, of Harvard University. See, They were dwelling on homosexuals as a test subjects in felons' prisons. But later, when you read the monograph, this paper, he talks about the financial matters, or financial obligations, or socially troublesome persons. Socially troublesome persons. Now, who might that be? And, you know, the paper is so old that it predicts micro-miniaturization. So now, we have nanobot technology. And then, coupled with that, is DNA signature. That's why they want your blood. The other reason they want blood, why the NSA is looking for blood, is so they can find the 144,000 Hebrew Israelites. Yeah. They'll never find them. It's impossible. They try to get Hitler to extinguish every Jewish tribe they could find. That's why they were numbered and put on IBM cards and burned, murdered. Holocaust did happen. In one concentration camp, 41 to 1943, the Roman Catholics, Ustasha, murdered 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians, 60,000 Jews, and 26,000 Gypsies in one concentration camp in Croatia. By Ustasha, the German SS were horrified at the cruelty of the Roman Catholic troops called the Ustasha. And the Germans, Hitler, second cousin to Stalin, Queen Elizabeth II, and Churchill, second cousins to Hitler, who was brought over here in the late 40s. Oh, he sure was. His goal, his assignment, was to find all Jews and kill them. He failed. God turned him over to powerless. You see how God works? And the evil shall slay the wicked. Eh? You don't get nothing over on God. This paper predicts micro-miniaturization. Near-permanent intracranial stimulation. That sound familiar now? What I said 45 minutes ago? A National Security Agency computer specialist back then in those days, 74, he proposed this project to attach miniaturized electronic tracking devices to 20 million Americans in 1973-74. It would transmit the wearer's location by radio to a computer, could be used for arrests following riots or confrontations, monitoring aliens and political subgroups. Behavioral engineering. Look up Dr. Ralph Schwetzbel, Robert Schwetzbel, twin brother, evil twin brother. Barton Ingraham, I-N-G-R-A-H-A-M, out of Berkeley School of Criminology. Further control, controlling criminal tendencies, being able to locate them. They could have electrical impulses injected into the brain that induced, inhibited, or modified movement, desire, rage, aggression, fear, pain, and pleasure. At Yale School of Medicine, Dr. Jose Delgado, he implanted radio transceivers in the heads of experimental animals. Bulls made them stop on a dime. They tried mental hospitals as practice. The machines were programmed for undesirable behavior and they send out an inhibitory instruction to make them stop it. Y'all getting the idea now? How come the Joint Chief of Staff don't know this? How come Paul Rykoff, who's an advocate for veterans preventing suicide, how come he don't know this? Makes me kind of wonder, y'all, as they say down home. And I'd tell them, y'all don't come back. I'd say, don't you ever come back. But now, suicide rates 22 to 26 per day, conservative. Almost every hour, every 65 minutes to be precise, a military veteran commits suicide. A new investigation by the Department of Veterans Affairs and the making the Veterans Affairs be the bad guy. It's split. Who controls the Veterans Affairs? The Council of Foreign Relations. The Illuminati. The secret societies. That's who. Now we get somewhere. So they put the heat on the bankers. Notice that. They put the heat on the veterans hierarchy. They had nothing but shoe shine. They could be replaced. In 20 minutes, they could get somebody, put them in a Lincoln Continental and send them down to replace any of the guys anytime they want. They're nothing. Bernankes and Holders, Cheney's, all these people, they can be replaced so fast it's not even funny. They're nothing but shoe shine boys. That's all they are. It goes higher. Italian, German, Illuminati at the highest level. And they're nothing but slaves of the fallen angels. I'm assuming I have veterans listening tonight. If you're not, you're going to say, who in the dick is he talking about? That's another story. It's about supernatural. Controls the natural. Secret societies is the enemy. Many of the suicides involve older veterans as well. 69% of the suicides recorded were veterans age 50 and older. Another way to look at this is 31% of the suicides were by veterans 49 and younger. In other words, by men in the prime of their life. Some time ago, the military released data showing the suicides among those in active duty hit a record high of 2012. There was 349 suicides among active duty personnel, almost one a day in one study that they did. It's just an epidemic, and we know why. It's being orchestrated. I'm going to show you that here in the next hour. So them saying that in 5 years they're going to have a prototype? Yeah, right. No. It goes back to the 1950s. Now, in Sierra Nevada Corporation, said it began production on the Medusa. This weapon bypasses the eardrum, and it uses a pulsed microwave. Microwave audio effect to create voices and sounds in the heads of the targeted person. Can you imagine the implications of that? These sounds can be heard by the target person or persons, although they can also be below the awareness threshold of the individual. When they're above, the U.S. Supreme Court states it's torture. So there's many concerns about this weapon being used. Many suffer harm and hardship from one or both types of this weapon. They're going to try to hide these weapons because when Maitreya, the fallen angel, appears, people around the world are going to hear voices in their head. It'll be from this cloud I was talking to you about in their own language. Can you imagine Christians? Can you imagine all the others are saying, well, how about the atheist? And they're going to come as an alien. It's a lie, too. The fallen angel, Sananda Manuel, the so-called Yeshua. It's a lie. I jumped ahead a little bit there, but that's what they're heading toward. This is because the sound, the voice-to-skull technology, is going to be in everybody's head when it happens. Benjamin Krim talks about this. Now, the U.S. military bankrolled early development of non-lethal microwave weapons that create sound inside your head. But in the end, this gadget may be as likely to wind up in shopping malls and battlefields than it has in Walmart shopping centers. They use it to test it out. This Medusa, it means mob excess deterrent using silent audio. Medusa. Mob excess deterrent using silent audio. It's not to be confused with long-range acoustic devices or other gadgets with simply project sound. No. This one uses microwave auditory effect. is a beam of microwaves turned into sound by interaction with your head. Nobody else can hear it unless they're in the beam as well. Now you make the beam larger, they'll hear it. Now you got it? The effect's been a laboratory curiosity with no application. But over the years, the military and dubbed the telepathic ray gun. It was mentioned in 1998, U.S. Army study, turned up in a Freedom of Information Act document dump. And then about 5 years after that, the Navy decided to put some research and design dollars in the project. Well, this has been ongoing long before that. And this Dr. Sedovic, what he did, had an intriguing kind of suggestion that instead of being used at high power to create an intolerable noise, and what the Iraqis experienced in the 1990s, it might be used at low power to produce a whisper that was to be quietly, too quiet to perceive consciously, but might be able to subconsciously influence someone. As in a sound to trigger a shooting or kill the family. You get it? Now you put drugs in their body. How about that? The directional beam could be used for target messages such as store promotions even. Subliminal advertising, which is being used. All kinds of applications. U.S. Army's Voice to Skull page, they have, which they may have taken down already. But the effectiveness of subliminal persuasion is pretty dubious at best. And that's what I submit to you, is the cause of these suicides. There's a lawsuit about CIA implanted electrodes in brains of unsuspecting soldiers. A group of military veterans are suing to get the CIA to come clean about allegedly implanting remote-controlled devices in their brains. They would test subjects like on LSD in the 1950s. But they weren't talking about the septal electrodes. Bruce Price, a plaintiff in the lawsuit, he believed the MRI scan confirmed the CIA placed a device in his brain in 1966. He's got evidence of that. And that's ongoing right now. We'll fight it left and right. Now, I'm going to, I got to tell you about this. There is what's called remote neural monitoring. Robert Gunn, a PhD from Arbor, Michigan, is an NSA clinical psychologist. He's involved in the human and constitutional right violations of mind control. He's committed unthinkable atrocities, this person. Worldwide, Gunn is involved in covert psychological warfare against innocent Americans and other global citizens. This runs around no problem. Psychotronic attacks. Highly advanced, surreal form of mind control. Intended to induce suicide among its thousands of targets. It's known as remote neural monitoring. So the technology, what it does, is employs a satellite-delivered extra-low frequency to communicate voice-to-skull transmission with a microwave. It produces schizophrenic symptoms. These ELF radio signals are used to communicate with naval submarines deep below the surface of the water. They can pinpoint a target anywhere on Earth. How about the implications of that one? It can penetrate water, rock, concrete, and other dense matter. Yeah, go ahead and get off the grid. Where are you going to go without the Holy Spirit? Consider this, that the brain has neurons, wires. It's powered by low electrical circuits. measured in hertz. It's kind of like insects communicate with non-contact antennas. Well, humans communicate with radio transceivers. It's kind of like each of us have a unique genetic code, don't we? Our own distinct radio frequency, 7 billion to be exact. You get it now? So you find the frequency, and a Terra technician can communicate directly to your brain. You can get that through the blood type. So this GUN, G-U-N-N, is part of the development team that created a protocol of torturing victims for decades called Targeted Individuals, TIs. He worked as a clinical psychologist at Ann Arbor Veterans Affairs Hospital. He deprogrammed World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam prisoners of war. He learned the secrets of mind control, deprogramming POWs. He was recruited to work on Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars program. Gunn and the staff of technicians, you know what they could do? They could isolate a victim and beam radio signals into the victim's home. And these attacks are delivered by satellite. And now I've told you about the study in 1973, then it's not any surprise to know that in this mind-controlled torture they're able to practice on, him and others developed a methodology that produces remote delivered body shocks to the groin and elsewhere. Holographic projections, in other words, simulated visions. Ooh, what implications that is. And audible acoustic projections with 3D holographic imagery. Can you imagine? And you know, the fourth component of this thing involves gang stalking. Heard of that? Actual instances of community operatives stalking and spying on neighbors for practice. Electronic eavesdropping, infrared detectors, X-ray viewers. Yep. Now you understand what's really going on and where the 26 suicides are coming from. You know, the founders of Amway, the largest contributors to the Bush family's so-called New World Order, and the high-tech offspring of the Michigan militia. Amway is the Masonic organizations of pyramid scheme subculture. You've been had, family. Get out of this nonsense. And the targets of these attacks are estranged domestic partners, Jews, blacks, women, disabled people, whistleblowers, people who seek criminal and civil justice, local degenerates who are addicted to drug or alcoholist practice. And they're just moving right along. Now, you've heard me talk about this multiple times. I figure eventually what I'm saying will get to somebody. Of course, then again, be careful what you wish for. You might get it. But whatever, as long as people understand this, somebody will say, wait a minute, I hear those voices. I'm going to pray them out. Help me, I'm hearing these voices. Then you try to find out where they're coming from and use the supernatural. Use the Holy Spirit. That's the solution. And send it back to them. But you got to be obedient to God. You got to fast and pray. Obedience to the Savior. Obedience to the Father. And ask for His permission. Ask for His protection. That's the only way. There is no other way. People aren't giving solutions for this. They're just giving you all fear. Well, I say send it back to where it came from, and you get God to do it for you, because that's the only way it's going to work. That means you got to be obedient to Him. It means a change of life for a lot of people. Oh, I know about that one. It's not easy. Now, you know that target tracking individuals in the United States is very easy, implemented with NSA's Electronic Surveillance Network, DOMINT, D-O-M-I-N-T, covers the entire United States, involves thousands of NSA personnel, tracks millions of persons simultaneously, militia, oath keepers. Y'all better know the threat that you're dealing with. You better understand what you're actually up against. You do have, in fact, infiltrators in every organization. You might even have conducted cookouts with them or best friends with them. These people are total evil, and they're good actors, too. NSA personnel in the community usually cover identities such as social workers, lawyers, and business owners. Undercover. Now, I could cover 4 or 5 hours with this easily about talking about this. I got tons of information here. I've done tons of research. And all I try to do is summarize it because there's no way possible I can throw it all out. You got the Cassandra Project. It just goes and goes. Now, I'm going to play you some videos here in a minute. That's going to confirm what I'm telling y'all. From experts, see. To just, all you do is your research. You know, these people are something else because they're going to fail. There's nothing they can do to stop what's going to happen. But in the meantime, God's allowing it because we're pulling away from Him. Same-sex marriage, child euthanasia being approved in Oregon, it's going to take place. All these things going on in the background. And we're letting it happen, and the more we let it happen, God pulls away even more. Look up total mind control of how they do this. Andrea, A-N-D-R-I-J-A, Puharich, P-U-H-A-R-I-C-H, do it again. Andrea, P-U-H-A-R-I-C-H, Puharich. He talks about the ELF transmissions and mind control and how all that works. Now, what I'm talking about tonight is really complicated, but I'm trying to simplify it as much as possible to show you what you're up against. If you pick up total mind control, it gives you a total population control. It talks about the donut-shaped magnetic field that's wrapped around the earth and how they manipulate it. HARP, how that integrates with it. Geomagnetic waves and Gwen coils. Oh, it's got this thing. Control the weather, mind control, behavior, mood control, synthetic telepathy. Family, this is beyond, you know, post-traumatic stress. You see, it wants to believe it's post-traumatic stress when it's being induced on people. That's the whole point I'm trying to make here. And the only way you're going to deal with it is through supernatural means. And that works. Now, percent of U.S. Army are on prescription medication, and nearly a quarter of those are on psychotropic drugs. 2010, the Pentagon spent $280 million on psychiatric drugs. It's risen. There's about 8,000 to 9,000 suicides each year by U.S. soldiers and veterans. That's over 22 per day. 33% of these suicides are attributed to medication side effects. So this means that medications are killing more U.S. soldiers and veterans than Al-Qaeda, who's controlled by the government anyway. Hillary confirms that. She does. 500% more soldiers abuse prescription drugs than illegal street drugs. I got a whole list of, I could go on for another half an hour just on the statistics I've got here. 1/3 of military suicides are committed by soldiers who've never seen combat. Now, there's a problem. That should be a, raise a few flags now, wouldn't it? In the last year, military wrote over 54,000 prescriptions for Seroquel to soldiers. And all those were off-label, meaning the intended use has never been approved by FDA. And Dr. Bart Billings, a retired Army colonel, former military psychologist, he refers to psychiatric drugs as a chemical lobotomy. You know that in the Korean War, the suicide rate among active duty military was 11 per 100,000. Suicide rate of active duty soldiers in Civil War was 9 to 15 per 100,000. In the Middle East, U.S. soldiers in the Middle East was 23 per 100,000. So the casualty rates were far higher in the Civil War. I mean, the Civil War was more psychologically traumatic. We're fighting each other. Something is not right here. Now, and every mass shooting over the last 20 years has one thing in common. It's not guns. Psychotropic drugs. Okay. So now let's get down to it. First of all, the Council of Foreign Relations is the enemy. They determine U.S. policy. As a matter of fact, even in 1950, in the Chicago Tribune report, and back then in the 1950s, they had good reports coming out, the Chicago Tribune, before they shut them down and changed editors. Quote, about an ill-advised entry in the Korean War, for example, the Council of Foreign Relations. The members of the council, this is also by a Chicago Tribune report, 1950. Our first ill-advised and planned defeat, second one was Vietnam War, was all planned out. Quote, the members of the council, that's Foreign Relations, should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war. That's World War II. And the fresh blood of the present one. That's a Korean War. Unquote. And in fact, General Douglas MacArthur confirms that Red China was allowed to remain Red China because the State Department blocked Chiang Kai-shek's advance from Taiwan or Formosa into China. The State Department ordered the 7th Fleet to block it and stop it, to make sure the communists remained in power in Korea. Douglas MacArthur confirms that in his diary. I've got the quotes right here in front of me. I got to get moving on here. And I talked about that earlier today in my other broadcast. Council of Foreign Relations is the enemy of and with themselves. And they don't tell you all that. First of all, we created Al-Qaeda. And we've maintained that continuously.
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan. I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia, and we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and that's great. Let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated. They lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is, wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union. but let's be careful what we sow because we will harvest. So we then left Pakistan. We said, okay, fine, you deal with the stingers that we've left all over your country. You deal with the mines that are along the border. And by the way, we don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, we're sanctioning you. So we stopped dealing with the Pakistani military and with ISI, and we now are making up for a lot of lost time.
Now, she lied through her teeth because the Soviet Union never collapsed. They just changed the name. Number two, we used Pakistan, Afghanistan to set up the fake war on terror. See, she knows that too. So we stopped dealing with ISI? Isn't that what she said? We stopped dealing with Pakistan? Really? Well, in 1993, the CIA asked that ISI divert part of their dregs, terrorists, of the HUM, H-U-M, and Huji, H-U-J-I. I won't explain that too much, but they caused us problems in Somalia. They were the cadres of the HUM fought against U.S. Marines in Somalia. We funded them. And the Huji and the HUM were moved to Bosnia, the Balkans, to assist the Muslims there in their fight against the Serbs. So after Afghanistan, we just stopped. The transfer to Bosnia, 10,000 Mujahideen and bin Laden, was funded by the Saudi intelligence. And the CIA worked with the ISI to divert part of their terrorists to Bosnia. So they were transferred to Bosnia, was funded by Saudi Arabia. The arms and ammunition was given by Iranian intelligence. They're all working together. And leadership and motivation was provided by serving and retired officers of ISI and the Turkish intelligence. And Omar Sheikh, the man who killed bin Laden in 2001. You heard me right. He masterminded the kidnapping of Daniel Pearl of the West Wall Street Journal. Has jihad inoculation experience in Bosnia, just as bin Laden had his in Afghanistan. But see, bin Laden wasn't playing with him. So they had Omar Sheikh to kill bin Laden around December 2001. So from Bosnia, they were diverted to Kosovo by guess who? CIA, CFR. And therefore, thereafter, left in the lurch if they had done the USA's hatchet job in the Balkans. In comes another wacko, Wesley Clark. Had an ill-advised move into Kosovo and bombing the Serbs. Well, let's see what she's got to say about this, the upcoming
president. Thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean,
they control our policy. The Council of Foreign Relations is the Illuminati. They are the big bad wolf. Y'all getting the point now? Council of Foreign Relations. And you know that Hillary, who's going to go up for president probably with Wesley Clark as her running mate, denied attending Bilderberg, but confirms that Bill did. You know, these people are something else, man. And see, Americans are not putting the dots together. Now, the Council of Foreign Relations, that is the Illuminati. Every president's been a member of it, just about, since 1921, since Woodrow Wilson. That's not all.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Now, the contact group, the helpline, or whatever group, Iraq and Afghanistan organization that's going to help solve our suicide problem, is ran by Paul Rykoff. Paul Rykoff is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations and a former veteran. You've heard what I've said about suicides and what's causing them. Let's see what he says. How about that?
Stressed by war and long tours overseas, U.S. soldiers killed themselves at record high rates last year. Here to talk more about this is Paul Rykoff. He's the executive director and founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Paul, nice to see you. Unfortunately, the topic is terrible. These numbers were released by the U.S. Army yesterday. Let's go ahead and put some of them on the screen real quick, and then we'll talk about it here. As you can see there, 128 soldiers confirmed committing suicide this year, 2008, I should say, and then there's another 15 that are suspected. They're still pending. When you go all the way back to 2004, in fact, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, those numbers have doubled?
2007, 115 soldiers. 2006, 102. And now we got 26 per day. Oh, it's really working, isn't it? Something's not right here, family, with this Rykoff, who's a Council of Foreign Relations membership.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Heidi. They've doubled in about 4 years. So this is a really disturbing trend. The number continues to go upward. And if you look at the facts on the ground, you can see why. They're doing repeated tours. You've got more than 500,000 folks who've been there more than once. You've got family stresses back home. Now you've got the economic situation. Mortgage foreclosure rates around military rates of military bases are higher than the national average, much higher. And you've got a very, very tough war zone. So all this comes together with an inadequate screening program and not enough mental health support. And these numbers are continuing to rise, unfortunately.
In fact, there's another disturbing one, too, that we talk about. Apparently, for the first time since the Vietnam War, the amount of soldiers committing suicide is actually higher than the civilian rate.
They say it's 20.2 per 100,000, 2008.
Yeah, that's right. And you've got to take into account that civilians aren't pre-screened for mental health disorders. They're generally less healthy physically. They don't have health coverage. So this is an even higher number. And this doesn't take into account other branches, the Marine Corps, the Navy, and folks who've left the military. There are many veterans who will come home, leave the military system, and unfortunately take their own lives. So this is really the tip of a much larger iceberg and a much larger problem.
Yeah, and there's two things to talk about here, if you ask me. And one of them is what sort of care the military offers, and then exactly what you just mentioned, what sort of care the veteran gets with regard to psychological treatment. And we are talking about PTSD here most times.
That's right. About 1 in 4, 1 in 5 folks coming home are going to have traumatic stress disorder, severe depression. They're also facing alcohol and drug abuse problems, marital problems. So the scope is pretty broad. The Army is stepping up efforts. They've made a call for increases to mental health hiring. They actually said on a conference call yesterday, we need more folks to work in mental health at the Army. We need the President involved. We need Congress involved. If we lost 128 soldiers to an enemy weapon, the country would be in outrage. So we've really got to address it with the same kind of urgency and mobilize the country to take care of our folks in harm's way.
And one of those things that you can do is raise awareness, of course. I want to take a moment to show one of these new ads that's out with the Ad Council. Let's take a look.
It shows a veteran walking down lonely, nobody's on the streets, there's somebody welcomes him in. To welcome veterans and so forth.
You know, it gets me choked up every time I see it. Mm-hmm. I have seen it several times on television. Is something like that enough?
I know there's
also the National Intrepid Center of Excellence that is being built in Bethesda. I mean, they are going to be talking and working with traumatic brain injury as well as post-traumatic stress disorder. That's private money, though. I mean, where is the emphasis? Where should it be? Should it be from the VA, the DOD, or does it need to be coming from private civilians?
Honestly, Heidi, it's got to be all those things working in concert together. Our program with the Ad Council is designed to reach out to those veterans, get them support, get them involved. There's an online component, so if you're a soldier or a veteran or a family member in need of help, go to communityofveterans.org. We've set that site up. But the Intrepid Center is also going to be critical. It's something like a $60, $70 million facility in Bethesda. It'll be the premier traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder research and care facility in the country. But it is private money, and they need money. So if folks want to help, donate to the Fisher House, help them get the research and treatment that these folks need so badly.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is changing the culture and making
absolutely.
Sure that these men and women know that it's okay and acceptable to go and get the help that they obviously desperately need. Paul Rykoff, we sure do appreciate your time here today on this disturbing report. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Heidi.
They have no shame. Yeah, experienced veteran. The troops are being targeted. So let's go back to more reality.
This is a list. This is a list of 23 key mind control related devices that have been issued patents from the United States Patent Office between 1956 and 2003. Many of these patents are microwave technology used in electromagnetic mind control and organized stalking of individuals with directed energy weapons.
Hypnotic inducer mind control machine. Apparatus for producing visual stimulation. Apparatus for producing visual and auditory stimulation. Nervous system excitation device. Method and apparatus for improving neural performance in human subjects by electrotherapy. Hearing systems, RF microwave. Method of an apparatus for producing sweep frequency modulated audio signal. Patterns for inducing sleep. Method of inducing and maintaining stages of sleep in human being. Remotely monitoring and altering brain waves. I got the name of the patent right here. I got the patent number. Auditory sublimial message system and method sublimial brain wash and music, other sounds. Method of changing a person's behavior, subconscious brainwash by video. Hearing device, microwave hearing. There it is again. I'm going to skip some of these. It just goes and goes. Apparatus and method of broadcasting audible sound using ultrasonic sound as a carrier. It just goes and goes. Continuing.
This is not a list of all patented mind control technology and devices in the United States. This is only some of them. National Security Agency devil worshippers, known to be working long-range takeover plans here spanning several generations, were also known to have plans to use many of these technologies to mind control the planet, including the United States population. These satanic mind control monsters are still inside of our government today, running the show behind the shield of the National Security Act of 1947. Other mad scientists, such as Dr. M. A. Persinger, inventor of the God Helmet, and authority on electromagnetic mind control via microwaves, have further developed electromagnetic mind control using these patented technologies.
What Dr. Persinger is saying is that virtually any mental state can be artificially injected into a human brain from an exterior source. The most frightening thing is that the means for doing this already exists in a fully operational form on a worldwide basis. Quote, "The power levels for these amplitudes are similar to those associated with the signals generated globally by radio and communication system. Within the last two decades, a potential has emerged which was improbable, but which is now marginally feasible. This potential is the technical capability to influence directly the major portion of the approximately 6 billion brains of the human species by generating neural information within a physical medium within which all members of the species are immersed." Unquote. Dr. Persinger's message, minus the jargon, is that the entire human race can be controlled through the use of electromagnetic influence piggybacked on television and radio networks or other technological means.
Effectively, all consciousness is due to electromagnetic patterns generated within the brain. What we do is imitate what the brain normally does.
Dr. Persinger.
Like, you know, where are these thoughts coming from?
Those thoughts came from the neuroscience laboratory at Laurentian University in Sudbury, Ontario.
I've got one that can see.
There's that movie, They. They tell you what they're going to do before they do it. That's how it really works.
He's a tall, Caucasian male. Doesn't appear armed. Wearing sunglasses.
I don't like this one bit. Not one bit.
So here we go. Move around along. Next step. Remember.
Brain-machine interfaces.
This is old.
A technology that marks the beginnings of a new kind of man. The cyborg. The robot man. Neuro-robotic technology can be applied in different directions. The brain controlling the machine or, inversely, the machine controlling the brain.
So we're just going to go through each one of these arms.
Now, I explained earlier today, this same video, was there, what this guy's talking about coming up are these little mazes that these mice are going through with the electronic device on their head, with neurons reading to the brain, controlled by a computer. Uh-huh. So they got a mouse going through a maze. That's what he's describing here.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Let's do all of those. And I'll just do it.
But a third option is also possible. One brain controlling another brain via the interface. How does this work in the case of the robot rat? All you need, in fact, are three well-positioned electrodes. Two electrodes in the sensory cortex of the rat send stimuli to the zones connected to its whiskers. When the rat follows the signal sent to its left side and turns in that direction, it is rewarded with a discharge into its pleasure zone. This discharge produces a flow of dopamine, providing instant pleasure. This zone is also called the brain's reward center. We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. In the process of creating a cyborg, this is square one. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement. In Boston, the first machine-brain interface trials have already been conducted on paraplegic patients. Thanks to an electrode chip called the Brain Gate, they can operate a computer remotely by thought. So it's no coincidence that these researches are partly funded by DARPA, the U.S.'s Defense Research Agency.
Same as I read before.
Neuroscience will bring us the soldier of the future.
This is a new deal, gentlemen.
Enemy center of gravity is downtown.
Just get a good view from here.
A remote-controlled soldier? A soldier who, in the midst of a battle, can be sent crucial data and information downloaded into his brain? A soldier who can control his fears?
They're already here. Yeah, they're using it to kill our troops. That's the difference. This is a real firefight that's recorded. It shows the mind control being used on our troops over there.
Dude, look at me. People all
there. Dude, those two people.
You said, who pulled up in the white car?
I
shot that dude in the white car, ran in.
Oh, yes. You're going to get it. Yes. Naughty little boys. Yes. 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 Yes.
We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement.
You little shoot at us! You little die!
We are going to reach a level of control. The more we learn about the brain, the more researchers discover how little our consciousness and will control our choices and behaviors. Our way of living might be completely transformed by the convergence of neuroscience, genetics, and nanotechnology.
Now, let's go to an expert that is Anthony Sutton, that is a real truth teller. And he's like a earlier Bill Cooper. This guy's a technician, Anthony Sutton. Oops. Oops, oops, oops. Here we go. Psychotronic weapons used to manipulate people.
What I'd like to do is to get on with a subject that you've been most involved in since you've done all these things that we've been discussing, and that is psychotronics. I'd like to show you a video clip on Soviet psychotronics and ask for your comment, and we'll take off into that area.
Okay. But in the Soviet Union, a radio frequency, or RF device, has been used for over 30 years to manipulate the moods of mental patients. It's called a Lida machine. It radiates pulses of radio frequency energy, as well as light, sound, and heat. The pulse rate is in the extremely low frequency range, between 0 and 100 pulses per second. Dr. Ross Ady is the top researcher at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Loma Linda, California. He has been investigating the effects of the LIDA machine.
Now, what did the Soviets use this machine for?
Well, they don't use it anymore. We should be very clear that this is a machine which is regarded by them
as somewhat obsolete technologically.
This scientist, who did not want his identity revealed, is employed by the U.S. government and has done secret RF weapons research. He believes that tests done with LIDA and similar machines prove that humans are susceptible to remote alterations of mood and awareness.
Certain kinds of weak electromagnetic signals work exactly like drugs. And so the promise is that anything you can do with drugs, you could do with the right electromagnetic signals. Apparently, there are specific sites involved, specific functions involved. It's a matter of matching up, just like it is with a pill or a drug, to cause and effect. You could have a cause and effect relationship between a magnetic field and a biological function.
This sound, which is received by shortwave radios in the United States, is generated by another Soviet radio frequency device. It is known as the woodpecker because of its tapping noise. It is broadcast by a number of high-powered radio transmitters operating deep in the Soviet Union since July 4, 1976. Though the official Defense Department explanation of the woodpecker is that it is an over-the-horizon radar designed to track U.S. missile launches, some scientists suspect that the woodpecker is designed to interfere with human brain function.
As far as I'm concerned, the potential that this has for producing a direct psychoactive effect upon the polar American population is there. Has never been disproven.
Dr. Robert Becker is a pioneer in the field of bioeffects of electromagnetism.
The signal range within which the woodpecker operates is that which has been reported by many investigators to produce a tranquilizing effect upon animals.
We are just incredibly sensitive to these magnetic stimuli.
Dr. Bob Beck, a PhD in nuclear engineering, has done extensive research into electromagnetic effects on humans.
The signal is permeating power grids in the United States. It was being picked up by power lines, re-radiated. It was coming into the homes on the light circuits.
Well,
go ahead.
It was a little unclear, but I knew two of the gentlemen on there, Bob Beck, and I think Becker was the other one. And basically, of course, they were talking about psychotronics. If I can translate in my words.
Please do.
Psychotronics is the... Let me pick these words very carefully. Is the long-range modification or manipulation of behavior by electronic, specifically radio means. In other words, you use electromagnetic energy, radio transmissions, to affect human behavior at a distance. In other words, what you're doing is that you are merging radio engineering and parapsychology. This is what I think the Soviets can do. This is something which we have not in the West looked at too carefully. What I think the Soviets can do, and this was the intent of this film clip, let me summarize what they can do and then in more detail about one or two of these facets. One, they can manipulate behavior at a distance. For example, they could create a riot, which you couldn't stop, in this auditorium, right out of that transmitter. What they would do specifically is that the name of the transmitter is not the one I know. I know it as the Gomel transmitter. He called it the woodpecker signal. But what they do, they broadcast the signal to create a riot. You broadcast 11 hertz, 11 cycles per second, beamed into this room. And it would, without you knowing, you would start to get uncomfortable, then upset, and then I presume start getting a little active, like throwing plants around or breaking up chairs, things like that. You use specific, what I call the radio frequency windows. 11 hertz will create that kind of behavior. Other frequencies, other windows will create other kinds of behavior. You can create a passive behavior. You can make people go to sleep. You can create narcotic effects. It has been used actually as an antidote, as a cure for narcotic addiction. You can make people alert. You can make them misunderstand things. Each has a specific, very precise frequency. We know what these frequencies are. We know the behavior modification that can be brought about. We know the Soviets are using it. Let me give you three examples. One, the Moscow embassy in 1977, the State Department discovered that its employees were being zapped by what they called microwaves, that were really these transmissions, extremely low-frequency transmissions. The ambassador, in fact, had heart problems as a result of it. And you can induce medical effects. You can induce heart attacks at a distance with certain frequencies. That's one example we know. The State Department then took the wrong approach. It's put screens on windows, but we know that copper and steel screening will not shield from alpha, extremely low frequency waves. There is another antidote which we can get into later if you want. One, we know you can modify behavior through beaming radio waves on specific frequencies at a distance. We can do that.
How great a distance?
Well, the transmitter they're using is at Gomel. We know that that was beamed on Eugene, Oregon in the late 70s. They were picking up, I forget the cycles per second, I think it was about 9 hertz. And that was very intense at 3,000 feet. They got public health people picked up a number of, well, I think 20, 30, 40 cases of disorientation, headaches, nausea, that kind of thing, which you would get from that frequency. A more clear example is not Eugene, Oregon, although I'm fairly sure of that case, is the Canadian cases, Kirkland Lake and Timmins, Ontario, both bombarded by the Soviets. In this case, I'm in touch with a Canadian scientist who did the analysis for the Canadian government. There is no question in his mind that the Soviets bombarded Kirkland Lake and Timmins with a frequency which would create disorientation, headaches, and nausea, that kind of thing. So the distance, if you can get a radio wave in there, you can get this effect in there. It's so the frequency on which it operates.
The purpose of this was an experiment to prove what they could do and what they could do in wartime?
I think in the early 70s, this was experimentation. I think what they're doing today is not experimentation. If you look at the State Department, which as I see it, has not made one decision in our favor. Every decision is against us. If you look what happened in the Moscow embassy, if you get Schultz saying that counterintelligence is not productive, you know, these ridiculous statements, you begin to think that, okay, you can bring this about through psychoactive warfare, psychoactive manipulation using ELF waves, extremely low frequency waves. And that's what Robert Beck and the other gentleman were saying.
Do the Soviets select certain individuals in the United States, or do they take a picture of them and put it in a machine in the Soviet
that's a
Union?
Field.
Or what do they do?
There's several different things here. Firstly, I cannot prove that the Soviets have done this, but what I do know is that the West Germans issued their diplomats with protective devices about 10 years ago. In fact, I have the circuit diagrams for these protective devices. The West Germans have recognized the problem. They have taken moves against it. The State Department in 78 was not recognizing the problem. I don't know if they've taken any moves against it. It looks as if they have not.
Now, Professor Anthony Sutton on psychotronic drugs, part two.
This is where I am very, very disturbed, because in the West, we don't think in terms of warfare, certainly not to achieve objectives. Well, at least most of us don't, except the elite. And I'm concerned that while the elite is out to control the world, the Russian, given the Russian mind and the technology we've given them, is going to use this technology back against us in forms which we don't accept. And there's no question that our establishment engineers haven't until recently accepted behavioral modification through radio engineering. Now, both these gentlemen you noticed on here, they can talk because they're outside the establishment. They do not work for the government. In fact, I just had a letter from one of them. And this is the consensus among these people that this can be done, and secondly, it is being done. Now, there are other things that, in addition to behavioral manipulation, they're a little more little harder to pinpoint. I rather suspect that the Soviets can identify objects at a distance, say through radar. They can estimate the shape, the size, and the composition. In other words, one can analyze the return spectrum and analyze that and find the composition of what they're looking at. So theoretically, you could put a beam into, say, this top secret installation inside it, and you could get a picture back, very roughly, giving the shape, the size, and the composition of the article that was the other end of that beam. They can use it, I suspect, for telepathy. Telepathy, for a long time, has been a random sort of phenomenon. I think possibly you could use radio waves as a carrier for telepathy, perhaps even for psychokinesis, too.
Well, telepathy can be mind manipulation. Yeah. If someone doesn't recognize it as an exterior communication.
Yes. So that basically is what psychokinesis is. Then the one you mentioned about the putting the picture in the well. The number of end uses of that, I don't know which one you had in mind, but for example, it could be used for finding people. Tracing people. You could put a picture of a person within this machine and through a map, have it trace out the coordinates where the person is. I heard it was used in one case, the U.S. Navy, now I cannot verify this.
1980s.
It's just hearsay, that the U.S. Navy did experiment with this kind of operation by getting the signatures of Soviet submarine commanders and using this process for identifying the location of this particular submarine.
Now that's a fantastic achievement, by a signature. You can't hide anything on this earth, not even a symbol. Now, do you think the Soviets are targeting certain segments of our population that are the leadership, the Congress, the military, or do you think that over the pole are coming ELF waves that are affecting the entire population, beaming these between 3 and 4 a.m. in the morning and so forth?
Yeah. Well, if you look at Washington, you know, you go into Washington, it's like a world apart. And you go through all, like we did earlier, do we explain these things by stupidity, by ignorance? And you're almost left up by default with this behavioristic manipulation. It's the only one that really fits. I mean, these people are so out of touch with reality, as I see it, and as you see it, that this really becomes the only explanation that will hold water.
Well, when you have a few people that are not in any way influenced by it and take their stand for reality, for truth, for common sense, do these people have a natural repellent of these kind of energy waves? Is it the strength of God within them, or what is it that keeps some people totally clear in their thinking?
I think there's got to be an inner force and a spiritual power which enables us, perhaps gives us an inner strength to see truth, to see things as they really are. And these people, as you mentioned, don't have this inner strength, this inner power, this inner reflection of God.
And when you look at the people who are receptive and who tout this line, they seem to have had the capacity for vulnerability to this before they came under that attack. Like Schultz, for instance.
Yes. A vulnerability.
Like Schultz. I mean, you could say he's a victim of ELF waves, but Schultz was Schultz before he was a victim of ELF waves, is what I'm saying.
Yes, it's whether the Soviets manipulated his psychological weaknesses or the ELF waves brought them about. But the kind of person you get in Washington, a person who searches for power, you can guarantee that 95% of the people in Washington have got this lack of inner strength, as you mentioned.
You know, it's been observed by top people in Washington that the attrition rate on the part of people visiting the Soviet Union and then coming back and being soft on communism is amazing. In fact, they can go to the Soviet Union and be totally turned around in their views and become pro-Soviet. Do you think that therefore there is a greater effect of this mind manipulation in Soviet territory at closer range?
You're getting this with the businessmen. These top businessmen go to the Soviet Union and they come back. Dwayne Andrews is a very good example he's chairman of Archer Daniels Midland. You can either come back from the Soviet Union, and they may as well be reading a translation of Parker when they come back. It's the straight party line, right the way down. Now, they weren't always like that. But you do get this phenomenon, not so much with diplomats, but you certainly get it with businessmen. They go there, they wind and dine. I suspect they get this psychological manipulation. And they come back. And then they parrot the party line. When you challenge them, they become confused and hostile.
That's a real telltale sign, isn't it?
Real telltale sign.
The hostility is a front because there's no reason behind it. It's a bluster.
It's a bluster. And I've seen that at first hand. They become very antagonistic.
I've seen it too.
Yes. Which is weakness. There's nothing behind it. They're confused themselves why they're saying this and why.
Okay, we're probably going to go over a little bit tonight, maybe 10 minutes or so. So here comes now the added to it. That's the technology. Now let's talk about this.
This is 911. Who is this? Where is your sister? What is she trying to do? Take pills?
What? No, my dad's home now.
Hold on, tell me!
Our beautiful little girl, Candace, died by hanging 4 days after ingesting 100 milligrams of Zoloft.
Matt violently and with great difficulty took his own life.
She ended the night by cutting her wrist.
I found Jacob hanging from the rafter in our attic.
It wasn't the disease that caused my daughter to viciously mutilate herself. It was the drug.
These parents believe the drug companies had evidence there was a risk, but never told them.
I'd like to introduce you to my daughter, Caitlin Elizabeth McIntosh. Well, it's actually only a two-dimensional image of her, but it's all I have left. She died of suicide at age 12 years, 3 months, just 8 weeks after being put on Paxil and then Zoloft.
Our daughter Julie had been excited about college and had scored 1,300 in her SATs several weeks before her death. Instead of picking out colleges with our daughter, my wife and I had to pick out a cemetery plot for her. Instead of looking forward to visiting Julie at school, we now visit her grave.
On September 9, 2001, in a state of confusion and hopelessness, I put a .38 Special Smith & Wesson revolver under my chin and pulled the trigger.
I went from being a shy and mildly depressed but never suicidal kid to being overcome with thoughts of hurting and killing myself while on the SSRI drugs, thoughts which I acted on.
He told me, "I cannot stand the way this drug makes me feel." 2 days later, he committed suicide.
How do you erase the picture of your child trying to run in front of a moving car?
Would you people put your children on this drug? Would you take it yourselves?
A lot of the people who spoke this morning, the picture that was presented of their child or someone they knew was not someone who was very, very ill. It was someone who had relatively minor type findings, who were put on these drugs with terrible consequences.
Dr. David Healy is a world-renowned expert on antidepressant drugs, and he joins me in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me. I actually use drugs to treat people who've got problems with their nerves. I used them when they came out first, and I use them still. And GPs prescribe them in good faith because they think these things are really harmless.
Yes.
When, in actual fact, they aren't.
I think what's happening is we're not just picking up people who were ill and need to be treated. We've gone way, way beyond that and are actually making people ill.
I want to ask the question of what kind of society have we become when increasingly it seems pharmaceutical companies can get drugs on the market which haven't been shown to work and which have been claimed to be safe and effective when they aren't.
Oh, this is about money. This is not about science.
The pharmaceutical industry has systematically misled physicians and patients.
The bottom line, we don't really know what these drugs are doing in real live human beings. When you look at all of the documents, you see a pattern of misleading doctors who then unwittingly mislead patients. This is a betrayal of the public trust in physicians behind the scenes by the industry, and it must stop.
Harvard psychiatrist Joseph Glenn Mullen consults for lawyers suing antidepressant manufacturers. He prescribes these drugs to patients, but says he closely monitors them because he's seen extreme and dangerous reactions in some patients.
People who were not suicidal before I put them on the drug, who very clearly became agitated, sleepless, restlessness, and completely preoccupied with suicidal thoughts. And when I took them off the drug, it went away.
2 years ago, 16-year-old Corey Badsgard took a rifle to his high school and held 23 classmates hostage.
Describe around that time how you were feeling.
In the morning, I didn't feel like going to school. I felt sick, didn't feel like really, like I could get up very well. And so I went back to bed, and next thing I remember, I'm in juvie in the detention center where I used to live.
And no doubt that the medication did this. I mean, he had amnesia, hallucinations earlier. Abnormal dreams, which are all side effects of the medication.
That morning, Corey was on a mix of antidepressants prescribed for what doctors called situational depression. His father says the pills turned Corey from a sensitive teenage boy to a volatile marauder, susceptible to blind rage.
He was never a violent kid. I mean, he's always been a good kid, loved us, hugged us all. He's never watched violent videos, and until the medication, he started, after that, then we realized that he was having aggression problems and was out of character.
At Fox News, we found the Badsgard story with antidepressants compelling, so we investigated further. We found a disturbing number of recent school shooters were either on medication or were experiencing withdrawal.
The list includes 15-year-old Kip Kinkle withdrawing from Prozac when he shot 22 classmates, killing two, after murdering his mother and stepfather at his home in Springfield, Oregon. 18-year-old Jason Hoffman on Effexor and Celexa when he opened fire at his California high school, wounding five. 15-year-old Sean Cooper on a mix of antidepressants when he shot students in Idaho. 15-year-old T.J. Solomon, also on a mix of antidepressants, when he aimed his shotgun at classmates in Conyers, Georgia, wounding six. And 17-year-old Eric Harris, on Luvox, when he and partner Dylan Klebold killed 12 classmates and a teacher in the bloodiest school massacre yet, Columbine.
One of the things that in the past we have known about depression is that it very, very rarely leads to violence. It's only been since the advent of these new SSRI drugs that we have murderers, sometimes even mass murderers, taking antidepressant drugs.
What's going to happen to you when some months or some years up the road you actually try to halt this drug?
You have these sudden electrical jolts.
Electric shock sensation.
I couldn't walk.
Incredibly fatigued.
I could hardly talk.
I used to get the shakes.
Pins and needles.
Extreme vertigo.
Violent dizzy spells.
I fainted a couple of times.
Chest pains.
I couldn't sleep.
Stomach spasms.
Migraine headaches.
The nervousness.
Racing thoughts.
Anxiety attacks.
Heightened emotional sensitivity.
Crying spells.
I was very angry.
I was in actual physical pain from these zaps. I mean, they just go through your whole body, and it's not only the zaps and getting sick. It just feels like all the panic attacks that you've missed from taking the drug are now bottling out of you like at an uncontrollable rate.
Doctors are told, our drugs don't cause withdrawal. They cause something called discontinuation syndrome, but that's transient and mild. Don't worry about it too much.
Physicians miss that ultimately they're the consumers, but there's this weird market here because I consume by putting pills in your mouth. And you're the one who's going to have to suffer the consequences of things if they go wrong.
Add to it Oregon's agenda to bring in the the Child Euthanasia Act. The children under the age of 18 can elect to kill themselves. It's being worked on in Oregon. And so you integrate that with the International Rights of the Child that when it's signed, it overrides the Constitution, allowing your children to kill themselves anytime they want to. Of course, it will only be one time. And the parents can't do anything about it or be arrested. That's coming. We didn't sign it in 1989, but Hillary tried to get it passed for us to sign it, which means the union would take over your children. Nobody, Ron Paul, and none of these people are talking about it. I wonder why. Could it be because they're a Rosicrucian? So then up comes David Scott, congressman. But before him, a national security advisor to Carter and a bunch of others says this.
That for the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind
is still around.
Politically awake.
Zbigniew Brzezinski.
New and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
Advised Obama, Carter, a whole lot of them, all the way back to the 80s, and part of the creator of Al-Qaeda. So now you see, part two tonight, part three tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I've got several more audios to play, and I got one more that kind of sums it all up. And I wrote this congressman. Well, he's from Georgia, but let's see what he's got to say, and it'll be the last one for tonight. And I think I've made my point, I do believe. Crickets. How about that?
The gentleman from Georgia.
No more crickets.
2 minutes.
David Scott, congressman in Georgia.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The issue here before us on this bill, and first let me say I'm a proud co-sponsor of this bill to replace and be able to fire people. But the problem is the first person we need to fire is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Mr. Sandecki himself.
Of course, he resigned,
now,
you know.
We respect him. We respect his sacrifice for this country and everything else, but the buck starts at the top. Here are the facts. 5,600 veterans are committing suicide every year. That's almost 20 every day. Under his watch, in my own hospital in Atlanta, 4 of our soldiers were committed suicide in the hospital. And the very inspector general of the VA laid the blame directly at the foot of the VA administrations for the lack of management of the death of these soldiers. And when Chairman Miller and I went down and visited them, we asked, is there one more? Is there any more that has committed suicide? No, there's been no more. And they told a damn lie. Because the very next day it was exposed, there was another soldier that committed suicide. And they covered it up. This has been a pattern that's been going on ever since General Sandecki has been the chairman there. I respect his sacrifice. I respect what he did. But it's under his watch that we are in this situation in the hospital out in the western part of this country, where the Washington Post has accurately reported that 40 of our soldiers lost their lives, died because they couldn't get service. Our veterans are the heart and soul of this country. They are precious. And we must not turn our back upon them. I listened to the president today. And I was very disappointed with President Obama today. There was no urgency. Mr. President, we need urgency. We need you to roll up our sleeves and get into these hospitals. We need you to set a pattern if the VA hospitals can't handle it. Let's give partnerships. Could I get another minute? Let's give partnerships with some of the Republicans and the other public hospitals.
The gentleman's time has expired.
The gentleman 30 seconds.
The gentleman has yielded 30 more seconds.
God bless you, because at just seconds I want to say, reports are out that the taxpayers are going to have to pay or have paid $1 billion. For medical malpractice, reputed reputable news organization, Cox Media, WSB Television down in Atlanta, went all over this country. $1 billion the taxpayer paying because a VA cut off the wrong arm, cut off the wrong leg, the wrong testicle, the wrong kidney. Let me tell you all something, folks. Time. That's what I was just so disturbed about. We don't have time for any more investigations. The reports are in. Jesus Christ himself said, there is no more greater sacrifice than to give your life for your friend. Our soldiers have given their lives on the battlefield for them.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
We need to give our lives up here and give our veterans
gentlemen's
the respect
time has expired. The gentleman is no longer recognized. The gentleman from Maine.
You see, some of his figures are not correct, but it's close enough, and I believe he'd be sincere. See, people don't have all the knowledge about what's going on. They don't understand it goes much higher than just the VA or General Sendecki or whatever. It's beyond him. And a lot of these, some of these congressmen don't even know what you're being hearing, what you're hearing tonight. They're not connecting the dots of a much, much, much bigger picture. A massive picture of Illuminati, of Jesuits, of Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus that pervade inside Congress and control in the shadows of the hallways. Of congressmen that may die or threatened because they dare make a difference. In reality, the Black Book keeps track of their activities to keep them to vote what they want them to vote, or will inform, or will kill your nephew, or whatever. That's what really goes on, you see. But they lose, because Jesus Christ is coming back. He is real. The tribulations are going to happen. But in the meantime, there's going to be some serious changes coming around. You see, what I do tonight is show you what's really going on in the background. But this, there's a lot more than people even can imagine. It's supernatural what's happening. So many people don't understand this. And then there's those that do. Tomorrow, part three, we'll talk about some of those that do. Especially Michael Aquino. We'll get more in detail, I guess, tomorrow. Well, family, I appreciate y'all coming by. We went a few minutes over, well, 10 to be exact. And I hope you got something out of this to understand the scope of what you're dealing with, but to know that they are defeated, and Psalms 34:21 tells you right there. In the meantime, we're going to be tested, and trials are coming. Getting closer to Jesus, the full armor of God, the prayer I preached or gave you before, is your armor. It is witchcraft. It is supernatural. It is Luciferian. That's the enemy. Family, y'all have a good night tonight. And know that Jesus won on the cross of Calvary. Greater is he is in you than is outside in the world. But the Bible is true. The King James Bible is the gospel. There is no other. They claim there is, but they can have no proof, none whatsoever. But seek Jesus. That's the bottom line. So family, y'all have a good night. And through Jesus, know that you win. But pray for others that don't know Jesus Christ. Pray for others and witness to them. No matter who it is. And forgiveness for the vets. You must forgive yourselves for what you did. And you must forgive others as well. That's not easy to do. Especially under these darn drugs and the targeting that's going on. But now you know what you're up against. I'll upload this tonight and have it put out. So y'all have a good night. And a family. God bless. Good night. And this is The Watchman. I'm signing off.
astray. My song, this morning storm, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I
have a good night.